Get the score on Q Car and the Boys from old number 8. Troy Aikman talks with Dunham and Miller every Thursday morning at 8:10. Brought to you by AT&T Wireless, North Texas GMC dealers, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Tomorrow we are headed for the town of the Cow once again. We will be at Majestic Liquors at Bryant Urban and I-20. And over there, we will be giving away keys, which could start the new Dodge truck in the at the Ticket's 10th birthday party later on this week. We will have a football dispenser. It will have Blue Diamond almonds in it. You guess how many Blue Diamond almonds are in it? Two closest guesses win keys, which could start it.
Got some diamonds.
That's right. So join us tomorrow at Majestic Liquors.
Diamonds.
I-20 and Bryant Urban over in the town of the Cow. All right, on our phone now, Grego, we are joined by our good friend and colleague, the Bob Sturm Show.
He's on the phone?
Hey, now.
Actually, no. I just felt like saying that.
Hi, guys.
Because I haven't said it in a while.
Bob?
How are you?
Greetings. How are you doing?
I'm ready to roll.
All right, we have this bit running, which we probably need to completely reset because this kind of got away from us for a long time here, didn't it?
That's football, you know, season.
Vacation.
Busy. Right, right.
Holidays.
Your busy roadshow schedule.
The premise of this is this. A long-running question amongst the hardline crew here is, what would happen if the Beatles emerged today for the first time? How would they be treated? Would we see the same type of Beatlemania as we did back in the day, and then watch them develop and mature into what we probably, at least many of us, might consider to be the greatest pop musical act of all time? Or would they be treated like most groups are when they come out today? They come out, they have one big album, then they wait about 3 years before they do their next one, and by the time they roll around, nobody's interested anymore. Could they sustain that? And to get an answer to this, or perhaps learn which way the wind's blowing, we recruited the Sturminator. Because the Sturminator missed the Beatles.
Right.
Pretty much the first time around. And when the Sturminator moved down here from the remote Tobacco Road outpost of Lynchburg, Virginia a few years ago, you were not terribly wise into the Beatles at all, were you?
Merely commercials that have adapted Beatles tunes.
So what we have had the Sturminator do is we have fed him the Beatles in much the same way that they were fed to us, or at least fed to my generation, back in the day. We have had him listen to every Beatles CD in order, and then we bring him on here and we get from the Sturminator his take on this, his opinion. He basically gives us a review of that CD. Now,
right.
Your reviews have been pretty favorable up to this point.
Yes.
And today?
Today?
We tackle the probably, what is probably for most of us, the seminal Beatles work.
The seminal work in rock and roll history, according to probably 90% of the critics out there. This is the album.
What did Rolling Stone say?
Number one.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
So would you find it ironic that musical critic Bob Sturm found a fairly significant issue with this CD when he let others fly by without comment?
I've always had an issue with this.
However, let's proceed chronologically, shall we?
Let's go ahead.
All right, because it doesn't, we don't hit rough waters till later on. Cut one, we can just get going. It's not bad. I'm not sure I get it necessarily, but this starts the CD, it ends the CD. It's the Sgt. Pepper theme. It's done with the ambiance sound of a live show. And
now, had you heard this prior to going into this record?
Yeah, I've heard a couple of these songs along the way. Like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I have. You know.
Because a lot of times,
well, obviously it didn't make a big impression on
that
you.
That is so foreign to me how he has ever heard this song.
Well, a lot of times this song is played in conjunction with A Little Help From My Friend. Actually, yeah. It always is when I hear it.
And, you know, I get the, let's pretend we're somebody else, and, you know, it's It's probably goes hand in hand with a little drug use, and it all makes sense. And wax figures.
Why did you look
cover.
At Corby when you said drug use?
Help me out, Corby. Yeah. Fucking drug
You're
use.
Right, man.
All right, cut two is, of course, very familiar greatness. This is with a little help from my friends.
Yep.
Who doesn't love this?
I think this is, I always stick with this on the radio. Love this song. Ringo hit his peak right here.
What would you think if I sang out a tune?
This is a great, great song.
It's a happy song.
Yep. There's a couple happy songs on the CD.
And I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing. Gotta keep.
I wonder how they let him sing this song.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. Mm, I get high with a little help.
That's a good question.
I mean, why?
I mean, did they write this song with him in mind, or did the rest of them try it and not just... be able to pull
Maybe
it
this,
off?
This is one bone for the album. Gets one.
I mean, it's great. I can't imagine.
Garden.
This is the one decent song they gave him along the way.
All right, like us better than boys.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cut three is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. This is straight out Alice in Wonderland, if you ask me. It's incredibly catchy, but perhaps the... This is one of those songs you'll sing all day, but... Perhaps the most amusing of the whole
ruined.
Thing.
All these songs are ruined.
Yeah. I'm most amused in reading about this song that Lennon was surprised and bewildered that people saw LSD
right.
references
and
in the song.
It was just a little picture that his kid had drawn.
Yeah, it's all this from this picture, my young lad.
Meanwhile,
brought home from school.
It's LSD with this type of music, this type of dreamy, acid-y music.
He had the stock denial down pretty well for drug references and secret meanings and songs.
You had to back then.
Yeah, okay.
So you're not buying this?
No, not really. I mean, again, it's... Oh, yeah.
Stop. Don't.
Picture okay.
Now, come on, let's do this. Get that out of there.
Just all three of those songs are all ruined.
All right, cut four. I've heard my for the better part of several years because Phillips has adapted it. It's a great song.
It's getting better.
Aside from the various domestic violence references, it has a nice, happy...
It's okay.
But every time you hear it, you're thinking of plasma TV.
Yeah, I am. I am. Aside from the...
This song is one of many McCartney songs that I can just do without.
Now you're going to sit there and tell me you didn't like seeing him play this live?
No, that was cool. It's different. But when I hear it on the radio, I'm out. Doesn't do anything for me.
Now, this is a great song.
I was trying to think of more direct domestic violence references in pop culture along the way, but this one's got to be right up there, does it not?
Perhaps.
What's the actual wording coming up in verse 3? I don't want to stick with it all.
I believe I used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved.
Yeah.
Where do you think
That's
I got...
That's pretty stark admission, huh?
That's fairly direct, is it not?
Where do you think I got all my hit her with a frying pan references
Yeah,
from?
Well, it was McCartney all the time.
Yeah,
huh?
See, the Davidson song collection is trying to hide behind that.
All right, cut five, fixing a hole. Pretty song. It's, I like it.
I'm fixing a hole.
By the way, I think we can speed this experiment along now because of the addition of the iPod in my life. And I just dumped the whole catalog on there. Genius. Perfect for the flight.
Now, was this a big hit?
No. This was an album cut. Whenever DJs would roll one side of it, or you'd have the Zoo Classic album review or whatever,
yeah,
and they roll a whole side, you hear this.
What?
That's the only time you hear it.
That's a great song, but this next one to me is awesome. This is Eleanor Rigby Part 2 in my mind. This is She's Leaving Home, and I think it's great.
I do too. I love this.
This is one of my favorite songs that I've come across.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock.
Can you play this?
The day begins.
No. Mm-mm.
Too much orchestral crap in there to play.
Yeah. George Martin.
Bedroom door.
I doubt anybody else.
Even the note
during this time was using harpsichords.
Would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching a handkerchief.
I think we're finding that the symphony sound with the string sucks me in, I suppose.
Yes, listening through the headphones, you do develop a new appreciation for the cello.
She is free. We gave her most of our lives.
She's leaving.
Sacrificed most of our
I'll probably be living out this song one of these days.
Probably sooner than you think, my friend.
All right, that's a great song. All right, number seven. It's more interesting if you know the story behind it. It's being for the benefit of Mr. Kite. I had no idea the story behind this, but the entire lyrics taken off a poster from 1843 that they found in some secondhand store for the Mr. Kite was coming to play a show. And I wrote down amazing, silly and amazing that you can turn that into a song. But
yeah, genius.
Yeah, it is.
Must admit.
You know, this, I'm still with him up to this point.
However, that's about to change here in a bit.
Yeah, we're about to hit the lull in the greatest CD of all time, I'm told. All right, eight, With You, Within You, Without You from George again. I can do without it. I call it a time waster and a beating. This is just more of George. And
but you got to understand the what he was going through at the time.
Well, but understand what the other three is. He's insisting on this garbage on every album. And I'm just saying.
It wasn't garbage on Revolver.
Well, I don't think this is garbage either.
There's nothing
either.
Wrong with this.
I couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
Let me tell you something. You need to watch the Concert for George DVD. And the part where they do this type of stuff.
Did Robbie Shankar and the Turtles play this one?
No, the Turtles are nowhere to be found.
You're officially retarded.
Was there a
Shut
team
up.
Of
asshead
Tibetan monks?
No, it's Robbie Shankar's daughter.
Nora Jones?
Well, no, another one.
Oh.
The Kamor Indian one.
Yeah, a lesser fun baby.
Judy Shankar.
All right.
And she's playing sitar, and they got all this other Indian stuff going on back there. And Jeff Lynne sings the inner life.
I got to tell you, whenever I hear that sitar stuff, I'm out.
I'm with you.
I'm saying you ought to give it a chance.
I can't. I tore up the CD.
Would you buy a whole CD of this stuff?
Well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, but it's interesting once.
All right, cuts 9, 10, and 11 I all sort of put together. And I put it together under the premise of the Beatles are now so big that they can throw anything out there, and people will call it genius because it's the Beatles.
Because they're bigger than Jesus.
And here is When I'm 64, which, again, is catchy and fine, but it's very high school musical. Perhaps during the senior class rendition of Oklahoma, they could whip out this song and it would be completely in place.
You don't like this?
No, I don't mind it. I'm just saying, as you listen to the lyrics, and it's just 9, 10, and 11 on this album is just them saying, people will buy anything we do.
Well, every song on there can't be just phenomenal.
And I understand.
It's the greatest album of all time.
But it gradually gets crazier. Now, this one isn't bad.
I've always liked this song.
All right, let's move on to 10, where they're sitting around and they're no doubt taking their LSD. And they're saying,
shooting their LSD.
I love this song.
I think this part, and I love the drums here.
Could we do a song about a meter maid?
This part to me is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Then when you get to the actual song,
it's quirky, but it's good.
Now, you know the story behind this, don't you?
Refresh.
John would show up every day at the studios, the Apple studios, and he would park illegally. And the same meter maid would give him a ticket every single day.
Really?
Yeah.
I wrote down, is this a joke? Or is it like a parody of themselves? But I don't know. I mean,
and somebody said,
it's fine, but...
And it was either George or somebody said, hey, John, you better go out there. The meter maid's giving you another ticket.
Which brings us to cut 11, where they thought, you know, if everyone liked the song about the meter maid, What if we put some chicken sound effects in there? What if that worked? And here is Good Morning, Good Morning.
I like this once it gets going. This is a beating, but this is good.
I love this song.
Again, it's not a bad song. The point is, though, they're throwing anything against the wall, knowing that they're so big that it will all be
cheated. They're wasted on dope, okay?
Okay, fine.
They're wasted.
I've got nothing to say, but it's okay. Good morning, good morning, good morning, girl. You're going to work, don't want to go, feeling low down.
It is a beating here, those chickens in the beginning.
I mean, come on, you're the Beatles. All right, and then 12 is more Sgt. Pepper, and 13, they return to their genius with A Day in the Life. There's hope for future Beatles albums. As London is awesome. Let's go to 13, Dave.
Now, are you familiar with A Day in the Life?
Again, I know I've heard
all
it.
All the time where they were throwing out the gag that Paul was dead.
Yeah. Again,
this is the top three, four song for me.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Unbelievably written song and arranged.
How can they pull off something like that where people just actually believe that he was dead?
I don't know.
Ron, do you remember all that when all that was going on?
Oh, sure.
And you didn't have the mass media like you do now, and so you never saw the guy.
This song is haunting.
I don't know. All I can tell you is that speaks to the pop culture status they held.
And if you notice, there's hints about him being dead on the album cover. That's one of the most scrutinized album covers ever. Like the flowers in the shape of a bass on the left-hand side. Look at that.
Yeah.
Actually, that didn't all break until Abbey Road came out, though.
Well, that's when they really started running with this. The 28 license plates and, you know, all the symbolism of the clothes they were wearing walking across the street.
And the fact that he was barefooted,
right? Well, they always bury you barefooted.
It's quite possible this could be taken wrong, but it's a great album, but give me Rubber Soul, Revolver, and I'd even think about Help. I dig it, but when I heard number one all time, I just, you know.
You know what? I'm with you.
I'm kind of with you, too. As a matter of fact, the next one you're going to do, I like a lot better. Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah?
Which all of those were supposed to be on this album.
All right.
I love Magical. That's my favorite Beatles album, Magical Mystery Tour.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, this song, A Day in the Life, and Little Help from My Friends are three tremendous songs. And the other ones are just good little songs.
You know, the highs of this are real, real high. But the rest of it is not that great.
The chicken sound effect?
There are four or five things on here that are really transcendent moments. And that's why this album gets the recognition and has the status that it has.
Don't you like Magical Mystery Tour better, Ryan?
I love that.
I do.
It's got Hello Goodbye on it.
It's got Fool on a Hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penny Lane.
I like that song.
Strawberry Fields. I Bury Paul. That's another.
Now, this is the Back to the Volkswagen commercial, I think.
Sounds a little bit like it. It's got a Mr. Blue Sky feel to it.
Right. Now, who did that?
ELO.
That's ELO. The greatness of Jeff Lynne.
Oh, maybe that's for 2005.
Maybe it is. All right, we'll get that iPod going, get Magical Mystery Tour in it.
All right, boys.
Let us know when you got it. There he is, the Sterminator, our good buddy. Bob and the Beatles there. Some interesting thoughts from him on Sgt. Pepper. All right, coming up next, we're going to give a little love to the 10th birthday party. We've got some things to impart to you regarding that. We'll get to that next year on The Ticket.